Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive. Today we're going to be talking about something super interesting, molecular glue.
Oh yeah.
Which is showing some real promise in the fight against cancer. We've got some articles here, a couple medical websites. We're going to be diving into all that. So yeah, if you're interested in the future of cancer treatment,
buckle up.
You're in the right place.
Yeah. You know, what's really fascinating is that for a long time, we've been sort of attacking cancer with these therapies that are kind of like
a shotgun approach.
Yeah. A shotgun approach or carpet bombing, right?
Yeah.
We're hitting healthy cells alongside the cancerous ones. But molecular glue, it seems to offer a totally different approach.
Precision.
Yeah. Like a scalpel.
Yeah.
Instead of a sledgehammer.
Okay. So when we say molecular glue, is it literally like glue? Are we gluing stuff together at a microscopic level? What are we talking about?
I mean, you're on the right track. The way I like to think about it is they're like tiny little matchmakers.
Yeah.
You know, these molecules, they're bringing specific proteins within cells close enough that they can interact. And by manipulating those interactions, you can change how the cells actually behave.
So we're not necessarily attacking the cancer cell directly. We're kind of like rerouting its internal workings. Is that kind of a way to think about it?
That's a great way to put it.
Okay, very cool.
Yeah.
So, but how do we get these molecular glues to only target the cancer cells? How do they know where to go?
Well, that is the question, isn't it? And this is where it gets really interesting.
Yeah.
One of the more promising types of molecular glue is called PROTAC, and it stands for proteolysis targeting chimera.
Okay. I'm already lost.
I know, it's a mouthful.
It sounds complicated.
It is a little bit complicated, but what makes it so unique is its structure.
Okay.
It's got three parts. So one part of PROTAC binds to a protein that's found in cells. And this protein is called cereblon.
Cereblon, yeah. Oh, got it.
Another part latches onto a specific protein that's vital for the cancer cell to survive.
Okay.
And then the third part acts like a signal flare. Yeah. It detracts the cell's waste disposal system, and then that system breaks down the entire complex.
Whoa. So it's like bringing in the garbage truck to just completely annihilate these things.
Yeah, rid of it.
So we're hijacking the cell's garbage disposal to take out the cancer cell's essential proteins.
That's exactly right.
Very cool.
Yeah.
But again, how do we get it to only target the cancer cells?
Right. So our healthy cells, they have proteins too, right?
Right.
But cancer cells, they often have these really unique protein profiles. Think of it like a fingerprint.
Okay.
And so researchers, they're designing these PROTAC molecules to specifically recognize those cancer fingerprints.
They're going after the fingerprint.
Exactly.
Got it.
And that way they're leaving the healthy cells alone.
Okay, that's huge, right? That's a huge advantage over traditional chemotherapy, which just kind of like wipes out everything, right?
It really is.
But does this stuff actually work? Like, what does the research say?
Well, this is where it gets really exciting.
Okay.
Studies are showing that these PROTAC molecules, they can kill cancer cells really effectively.
Okay.
Even at low doses. And get this, it happens so fast.
Really?
Within hours of treatment.
That's wild.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Okay, and so are they harming healthy cells at all?
Well, that's one of the best parts.
Okay.
The studies are showing very minimal impact on healthy cells.
That's great.
Which means potentially way fewer side effects for patients.
Okay, compared to the traditional therapies.
Right.
Okay, very cool. So PROTAC. Very promising.
Very promising.
Are there any other types of molecular glue out there?
Oh, yeah. There are a lot of exciting developments.
Okay.
And another one I wanted to talk about is called arigidamide. It's also known as CC90009.
Okay.
And it targets this protein called GSPT1. Yeah. And that protein is essential for cancer cell growth and survival.
So another targeted attack, but a
different target
protein in its sights?
Absolutely.
Does it work in a similar way to the PROTAC?
Yeah, in a way, it also sort of hijacks the cell's own machinery to destroy that targeted protein.
So it tricks the cell. Into destroying itself.
Destroying the parts of itself that are helping the cancer. Thrive.
Got it. Okay.
So arigidamide, it uses a pathway called CRL4-CRBN. CRL4-CRBN.
Okay.
It's a mouthful.
It is.
I know. But basically, it's the cell's internal protein shredder. It's like a little garbage disposal.
Okay, hold on. We need to unpack this a little bit.
Okay, sure.
What exactly is this CRL4-CRBN pathway?
Okay, so think of it this way.
Yeah.
Every cell has this system for getting rid of old or damaged proteins.
Right.
It's like the recycling center, right?
Okay.
One of the key players in this system is a group of enzymes called E3 ubiquitin ligases.
Okay.
And they basically tag the proteins that need to be destroyed.
So they're like putting a sticky note on there that says trash.
That's... Exactly.
Got it.
So what a RadGemI does is it binds to both the CRL4CRBN E3 ligase and to that GSPT1 protein, bringing them really close together.
So it's like the matchmaker.
It is.
Bringing them together for that.
That forced interaction tricks the E3 ligase into tagging GSPT1 for destruction.
Even though it's not damaged.
Exactly.
That's brilliant.
Pretty cool.
So we're not just targeting a specific protein, we're manipulating the cell's cleanup crew to do the dirty work.
That's a great way to think about it.
Very, very cool. Okay. And so this is showing promise in preclinical studies.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, for a variety of cancers. So it could have really broad application.
Wow, that's amazing. So we've got PROTAC, we've got Arginamide, both showing a lot of promise in the lab.
Absolutely.
Are there any molecular glue therapies that have already made it to the clinic?
You know, there are, and that's one of the most exciting things about this whole field.
Yeah.
So there's a molecular glue treatment called Sarclisa.
Sarclisa.
Yeah, or isotuximab BRFC.
Oh, okay.
If you want to get technical.
If you want to get technical.
But it's already approved, and it's being used to treat multiple myeloma, which is a type of blood cancer.
Wait, so this is actually helping people right now?
Right now.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So how does this one work? Is it similar to the other two?
It is similar in the sense that it's bringing proteins together to trigger a specific cellular response, but its mechanism is a little bit different.
Okay.
So Forclisa is actually a type of antibody.
Okay.
And it binds to this protein called CD38.
CD38.
Yeah, and CD38 is found on the surface of myeloma cells.
Okay.
So unlike the others that go inside the cell, this one works in the outside.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So by binding to CD38, Sarclisa basically flags the myeloma cells for destruction by the immune system.
It's like marking them for termination.
Yeah.
Like enemy combatants.
It's calling in for backup.
Okay.
From the body's own defenses.
And this is working.
It is. It's showing a lot of success in treating multiple myeloma, both on its own and when it's combined with other therapies. So it's really a testament to how much potential these molecular glue therapies have.
Yeah. This is really amazing stuff. We've gone from like this basic concept of molecular glue.
I know, right?
To actual treatments that are helping people.
It's incredible.
It feels like we're watching this huge paradigm shift.
I think so.
In cancer treatment.
Yeah, it's really exciting.
Are there more? Are we just scratching the surface
here? Oh, we're just scratching the surface. There's so much more to talk about.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Researchers are exploring tons of potential targets for molecular glue therapies.
Okay.
Both within cancer and beyond.
Beyond cancer.
Yeah. That's what we'll be talking about in the next part of our deep dive.
Okay. So stay tuned. We're going to be going even deeper into this world of molecular glue.
Absolutely.
Join us next time as we explore all that and more.
Yeah.
All right. See you then.
See you then.
Welcome back. You know, before we jump into all the other potential uses for this molecular glue, I thought it'd be interesting to maybe talk about some of the challenges with developing these therapies, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it is cutting edge stuff, so I imagine there are some hurdles to overcome.
For sure, and I think one of the biggest ones is making sure that these therapies are really targeted, you know, that they're zeroing in on the specific proteins that are involved without causing, you know, problems elsewhere in the body. So it's kind of like a molecular dartboard. We're trying to hit that bullseye every time.
That's a great way to think about it. And just like with darts,
yeah,
you know, you can miss the mark. Those off-target effects can lead to some nasty side effects.
Hmm.
So researchers are really focused on improving the precision, you know, the selectivity of these molecules.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I imagine drug delivery is a pretty big challenge too. You know, how do we get these tiny molecules to the right place in the body, especially if we're talking about something like a solid tumor?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's definitely not as easy as just, you know, taking a pill. Scientists are working on all sorts of methods like nanoparticles and antibody drug conjugates to deliver these therapies directly to the disease, you know?
Like a microscopic guided missile?
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Deliver that payload.
But even with that super targeted delivery, aren't there still concerns about side effects? I mean, we are talking about messing with some pretty fundamental processes here.
You're right to be cautious, for sure. While the early research suggests that molecular glue could be less toxic than traditional chemo, we need more long-term studies to really understand the safety. you know.
Right. So it's about pushing the boundaries, but also making sure we're not doing more harm than good.
Absolutely.
Okay. So we've talked about the challenges, but let's shift gears a bit and talk about the potential. You mentioned that molecular glue could be a game changer for other diseases beyond cancer.
Oh, absolutely. The possibilities are huge.
What are some of the areas that have researchers really excited?
Well, they're looking at everything from infectious diseases to autoimmune disorders, even neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's.
Wow, that's a pretty wide range.
Yeah.
Let's start with Alzheimer's. How could molecular glue possibly help with a disease that's been so difficult to treat?
Well, it's still early, but the research is really interesting. So one of the things we see with Alzheimer's is this buildup of amyloid plaques in the brain, right?
Right.
These are basically clumps of misfolded proteins.
So it's like junk cluttering up the brain's wiring.
Yeah, exactly. And researchers are looking into whether molecular glue could help clear out those plaques.
Okay.
The idea is to design a molecule that binds to both the amyloid protein and the cell's waste disposal system.
So like a cleanup crew for the brain to remove those harmful clumps.
Precisely. And if we could remove those toxic proteins, we might be able to slow down or even reverse the progression of the disease.
That would be amazing.
It's really promising.
What about infectious diseases? How would molecular glue work against something like a virus?
Well, think about how viruses work. They have to get inside a host cell and take over its machinery to replicate.
Right.
Molecular glue could disrupt that process.
So we're talking about blocking the virus from getting in the first place.
That's one approach. Researchers are looking into molecules that bind to proteins on the surface of the virus or even on the host cell to stop them from interacting.
So it's like putting up a molecular fence to keep the virus out.
Exactly.
I like that. Okay, what about autoimmune diseases? How could molecular glue help when the immune system is attacking the body's own tissues?
That's a tough one, but there's definitely potential. There are specific immune cells that are kind of misbehaving in autoimmune diseases, right?
Yeah.
They attack healthy tissues like they're invaders.
So the immune system has gone rogue.
Yeah, exactly. And molecular glue could target those rogue cells either by messing up their signaling pathways or by marking them for destruction. It's all about restoring balance.
It's incredible to think that we could fine-tune the immune system with this kind of precision.
I know, it's pretty amazing. We're just scratching the surface here. As we learn more about these protein interactions and how to manipulate them, I think the applications for molecular glue are just going to explode.
I'm starting to see why everyone's so excited about this field. It feels like we're on the verge of a whole new era in medicine.
It really does.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important to remember that we're still early on in the development of many of these therapies.
Oh, you know? Right, right. We need to temper the excitement with some realism.
For sure.
So what are the next steps? What needs to happen to get these treatments from the lab to the people who need them?
That's the million-dollar question, and that's what we're going to dive into in the final part of our deep dive.
Okay, so stay tuned. We're going to be exploring the latest advancements, the role of collaboration and investment, and really what the future holds for this incredible technology. And we are back for the final part of our deep dive into the world of molecular glue. Man, I'm so excited about this stuff.
Me too. It's pretty amazing.
It feels like we could really be on the verge of something huge here.
I think so too. You know, one of the things that's driving all this innovation is the collaboration. You know, we've got chemists, biologists, clinicians, even computer scientists all working together.
Oh, wow.
To tackle these challenges.
It's a real team effort.
It really is. And it's allowing us to make these breakthroughs so much faster.
That's awesome. Are there any particular technologies or approaches that are really playing a key role in all of this?
Well, artificial intelligence is huge right now, especially mm-hmm. machine learning. They're using AI to analyze massive amounts of data on protein structures and interactions.
Okay.
And that helps researchers identify the most promising targets for these molecular glue therapies.
So instead of scientists having to go through all this data manually.
Right, it would take forever.
The AI can just pinpoint the best leads.
Exactly. It's like having a superpowered research assistant.
I love that. And is AI being used for anything else besides just finding targets?
Oh, yeah. They're also using it to actually design and optimize the molecular glue molecules themselves.
Wow. So it's making them even more effective and targeted.
Exactly.
That is so cool. It's like we're entering this new era of medicine where human ingenuity is being amplified by computers.
I know. It's pretty wild.
It's very exciting. What else is happening?
Well, another really interesting area is personalized medicine. You know, researchers are trying to figure out ways to tailor these therapies to each individual patient.
Personalized medicine using molecular glue. How does that work?
So imagine we can analyze a patient's tumor cells identify the proteins that are driving their cancer.
Okay.
And then design a molecular glue that targets those specific proteins.
So it's like a custom design treatment for your own biology.
Exactly.
That sounds like sci-fi, but it's actually happening.
It is. And as we learn more about genomics and how diseases work at the molecular level, the possibility is just going to keep growing.
This is incredible stuff, but I imagine all this research must be super expensive. Where is all this funding coming from?
Yeah, it's definitely not cheap. We're seeing funding coming from government grants, venture capital, and even partnerships between universities and pharmaceutical companies.
So there's a lot of momentum behind this research.
Definitely.
But at the end of the day, what really matters is how all of this translates into actual benefits for patients.
Absolutely. All the research in the world doesn't mean much if it doesn't lead to better treatments and better outcomes for people.
Okay, so what does the future hold for molecular glue therapies? Are we going to start seeing these treatments become more widely available?
I think it's definitely possible as more clinical trials are done and we get more data on safety and effectiveness, we'll have a better idea of just how powerful this could be.
And if those trials are successful.
Well, then we could see molecular glue therapies become a standard treatment for all sorts of diseases.
That's amazing.
It's a really exciting time to be in this field.
I can imagine. Well, this has been an incredible journey. We've gone from the basics of protein interactions to the potential of molecular glue to completely change how we treat diseases. It's clear that this technology holds immense promise for the future of healthcare. I'm so glad we got to dive into this together.
Me too. Thanks for having me.
And thank you all for listening. We'll catch you next time for another deep dive into the frontiers of science and technology.